Happy New Year, cocktail fans. Welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure, our first episode of the 2017 year.
Yes.
I'm Dave, along with my co-conspirators, Fred and Jason.
I'm Fred. No, you're... Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, we got it mixed up.
I should have worn my name tag.
That's right. You're Fred.
I'm Fred. And I'm Jason.
And you're Jason.
Yeah. Good night from him.
Have we hit the record button? Or is this are we just warming up?
No, we're not done. We're going live, man. We like the spontaneity.
I haven't used my throat spray.
No.
You may like the spontaneity. I don't know. I'm not sold on it.
No. He's more of a classical trained actor. He doesn't do the improv.
Like no.
He doesn't riff.
No,
that's not right.
Yes, it is.
It's the new year. Happy New Year, boys. I haven't seen you since...
Well, you've seen me.
I've seen you. I haven't seen Fred for...
No.
I haven't seen Fred since last year.
Yeah, wow. You haven't missed much.
I don't know.
I look about the same.
What about this elective surgery?
Well, I haven't decided which one to get.
No,
there's so many things you can have done that aren't necessary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know. Where do you begin?
I know. Exactly. I wanted to get... a lot of people got hair extensions. I wanted to get the ones that make your hair shorter. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's your haircut. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Well, the old surgeon barber thing.
And I think that's where I'm getting that from. We're reading a lot of old books on cocktails, and of course, barbers come up all the time.
Leeches, barbers, and bartenders.
That's right. And punches, and all kinds of things like that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's a great thing.
So our theme of the show, which we sort of took from... Jason's last episode, Jason made a smoking bishop.
Make a smoking bishop.
Which was a hot drink, and we decided to continue on with the hot drinks because it's very cold outside where we are.
It's been
very icy and
bejesusly cold.
Yeah.
I don't remember the discussion actually.
It's cold.
Oh yeah, no, I don't remember it. Y'all, we're gonna do more hot. Tiki drinks is how the direction I was gonna go. Deny the weather entirely.
We could still do that.
Okay,
all right.
Can we
put all this away?
Dump out the hot water.
That's right. We don't need this. We're not gonna need that.
Yeah. Sorry about that, boys. I just I stood to spring that on you at the last minute.
Bring in the Polynesians. Yeah, no, it might not have been a recorded conversation, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that the staff meeting I missed?
You missed
not
it.
Not so much, it was the almost midnight meeting. But it makes sense, and I think it's a good theme.
Yeah.
And plus, I know how it came up, because Dave, our little Dave wants to mix a drink.
Yeah, my first time.
It's about time. Yeah. He's been coasting.
Running the Instagram account, doing the recording is just, it's not enough.
No. I think you need to be involved in all aspects.
Exactly.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm making a hot gin twist.
A hot gin twist.
Which is quite a popular drink from the early, Fred, you got to look at me
I don't believe
what
word you're saying. You're making all this up. How did you come across that?
Don't remember how I grew up. Well, I was looking at... I think I was looking for hot, boozy drinks.
Mm.
And because I like gin, it's my spirit of choice. I thought, what can I find? So I did a bit of research and I found the hot gin cocktail, which was a very popular drink in the early 1800s in England.
Excellent.
And Jason, what is your drink you're going to be making?
Well, when you said that you were thinking of doing this, it made me hearken back.
Oh, I like it when you hearken.
Yeah. To our original mission statement.
Oh, yeah. We should really post that on our site, the mission statement.
As much as we had one, we were going to do some of these old ones. I mean, it's one thing to get a slow, comfortable screw against the wall or whatever you had in the 80s.
Sex on the beach.
Oh. But to go back to these ancient ones, the ones that made this whole thing happen.
Right.
So I went, if you're going to do that, I'll do a hot toddy, but the Jerry Thomas hot toddy David Wondridge Imbibe book.
Oh, yeah.
A return to Imbibe.
Yes, finally.
Yes. Thank you, David. Wonderful David Wondridge.
So a couple of warm drinks from the 1800s.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because I think I did a little bit of research once I finally discovered what you were doing behind my back.
Yeah.
And I think your drink is mentioned in, I think Dickens mentions the...
The Smoking Bishop.
The Smoking Bishop, but I think also the gin...
I think it was Sir Walter Scott mentioned in one of his novels. And I think Thackeray William Napier's Thackeray. There was such a popular drink that it was mentioned in various literary, the pop culture of its day, the novel.
Okay. Yeah. And is it a good drinker or is it a medicine?
Well, of course, a lot of those drinks from the time were supposedly medicinal.
Is it a morning drink again? Are we back to doing morning drinks?
It could be. If you're going to go outside with the, you know, get in the sleigh behind the horses, you want to have a nice... pick me up.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure it's a little of both, medicinal and just to make you nice.
Sure. Well, excellent.
I've got lemons and gin at home, so if this works out well,
you might have seconds.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had hot gin.
I'm thinking about doing it in the morning, right after my Cheerios.
Okay, sure, right. Okay, perfect. Well, shall I?
Are you going to abandon your control?
I'm abandoning my usual post.
Who's going to sit in the captain's chair?
Well, that's going to be, I'm going to turn over to my first officer, Jason.
I'll sit over here for the moment.
And okay, so we got the measuring cup. We're using London Dry. We're using the Bombay Fire.
Okay, so we'll get a bit more botanicals maybe than some other ones, but I think that's still gonna.
So what is the one in a Bombay?
In a pre-warmed glass.
In a pre-warmed glass is what they recommend. Not feeling up to it. You're taking this for medicinal purposes. You might just want to get right to it and pour it all in because you're adding hot water anyways. Right?
Exactly. So, I'd probably fill a hot water bottle with it and just call it a day.
Yeah. And then that's 1.5 shots of the gin, and then we're going to add... you brought your glass to drink.
I did. Feel free to use it.
Yeah,
I stole it from work.
So
most of your better optical stores have a jigger in the back.
Fresh lemon juice here, about 3/4 of a... Now add the...
That's great. Simple syrup. You've even made simple syrup for the first time.
I know.
This is going to be quite exciting.
I hope it lives up to your expectation. We're doing half a shot of the simple sugar. And one thing I was reading in David, one of the reasons you use simple sugar in drinks is that, as well as sweetening, it thickens everything up.
Yeah.
Because you said a thin toddy. So I don't want to serve you sad toddies, do I?
No, exactly. And it's funny because I was going to use that same quote.
I spoiled it for you.
A thin toddy is a sad toddy.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it too, Fred?
I think a thin toddy is also a sad toddy.
And then it says top it up with some hot water. I guess... How much hot water you want to add is up to you. However strong you want to make it.
All right. You've probably put in you're probably 2-1, I would guess, judging by the depth there.
I don't want to make it too diluted for you fellas.
No. We don't need that hot gin flavor to come through.
I did a trial run on those. Within the ballpark.
Test the concept.
Excellent. And what did you think? Oh, we won't even say what you thought.
No, wait. I don't want to prejudice you guys.
That's right.
I'll grab this one.
Okay. And Jason, you can take that one.
Thank you very much.
And cheers.
Cheers.
Gentlemen.
To the new year.
To hot gin.
Hot gin. Well, so automatically you get the gin on the nose because it's steaming right up out of the top. Oh, I'm like, this is all right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
Yeah.
This is where lemony hot neocitrin comes from.
I think that is. Yeah.
Trying to be a bit of that. But,
in a good way. I mean, it's not like it's...
I think this is what neocitrin should aspire to.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
I'd take this every night before going to bed.
I think I might. I'm just looking to get sick now.
Yeah. Now, when I tried it on the weekend, one of the things I thought that came to mind was maybe pull back a little bit on the lemon juice. Only because, especially with Bombay, you've already got a citrusy kind of taste.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it overpowers the gin a little? Or do you think it's balanced?
I think they're pretty well balanced on that. I mean, you could tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the gin, too, because there's so many craft gins out there.
Yeah.
Some of them are actually more botanically than the Sapphire, for sure.
Right.
And I think because this really boosts that that nose.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think, I hear what you're saying, but I think it's fine. Because I think on the flavor of it, you can taste the gin just fine.
Okay.
And then I think the lemon hangs around longer.
More of a finish,
So you do get a little bit of a lemon hit off it. But no, it's warm gin.
It's gin.
Lemonade.
Warm gin. That's what, actually I served it to my wife, Jessica, and she said, it tastes like hot lemonade.
Yeah.
But it makes you feel a whole lot better.
I'm going to have to buy a bigger bottle of gin.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. This has opened my eyes to a whole new concept.
Yeah.
Because in I don't remember, Dave might remember this. There was an article that we read a couple of years ago about the fact that Bob Cratchit actually had it pretty good.
That's right. I remember you telling this story. He added up all his earnings. And
yeah, added up what in it. It was, turned out that really it was his family that was being too extravagant. The mother had bows or something. And I said, well, you know, the bows aren't cheap.
No.
And the fact that they had gin punch. And I think he says in the movie anyway, I can't think of another family that has two rounds of the best gin. You could afford brandy. If you were well-to-do, you had brandy.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you had gin.
Right.
But this has converted me. You don't need to have anything. Anticipating it to be some kind of rot gut, and it's not. I'm never going to have Neocitrin again. I'm going to have gin.
There you go.
Because you get the vitamin C, although it's probably beat back a little bit by the gin. Yeah. A little medicinal in it. It has knockout powers, right? Yeah. It's going to be a little soporific or whatever they call it.
It's good on the nose, you know. It helps, it does. But anyway, I'm sure the alcohol fumes are good for something, an anesthetic for your nasal passages.
Yeah. And so how much gin is in it? Sorry, like an ounce and a half?
It's 1.5. Yeah.
Right. So if you were sick, you would double it. You'd do 3 ounces of gin.
Or if you really need a good pick-me-up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. But you're really determined for that pick-me-up morning cocktail.
You're
trying to introduce it as your New Year's resolution.
Yes,
a cocktail every morning for Fred.
I'm having trouble, getting fully awake, and I think this just might do the trick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Could be, yeah.
Great way to start. Put that in your travel mug?
Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
Wow.
I really can't think of a single thing wrong with that.
Wait a second. That's right. No, there's some legal issues, but
maybe that's what
there's nothing wrong with.
That's what I'm thinking of.
It's funny to think, to explain to young people nowadays, that there was actually a time when drinking and driving was frowned upon.
Mm-hmm. But that's it.
That's it, exactly. If you were to tell somebody that you had done something stupid with drinking and driving, somebody would admonish you, and then there'd be a half hour of stories of them doing the exact same thing.
Exactly.
No, it's a serious business, and nobody should do it.
But you think of the movies from the 20s and 30s where the comic drunk driving home from the bar. Mm-hmm. Ha! Isn't that funny?
Exactly.
They hit a telephone pole.
Ha! That's right. Of course, back then you could hit a telephone pole.
Yeah.
And it really hurt the telephone pole. Very gigantic model whatever.
Yes.
Not a Model T, but something with a longer front. Yeah. Like a Fatty Arbuckle's Packard.
Sure,
God, you would have been...
Oh, don't bring up Fatty Arbuckle. It all ended in scandal. Really?
Yeah, that was my New Year's resolution. I wasn't going to mention Fatty Arbuckle all damn year.
Already.
Yeah.
The gin has loosened my tongue.
Yes.
Just Google Fatty Arbuckle, everybody, and you'll get the full story of it.
Or don't.
Or don't.
But he was acquitted.
He was acquitted.
Oh, was he?
He was acquitted.
He was acquitted.
And he died penniless.
Yeah, it didn't help his career any.
No, he was still blacklisted.
Yeah.
Yes. He started the tour as Acquitty Arbuckle. And he was just what? It didn't work.
No.
Buster Keaton had moved on to better, greener pastures, and so the whole thing fell by the wayside. But Acquitty Arbuckle.
Yeah. Google that.
So, yeah. So, there you go. That's a hot gin twist, and we'll put that on the
website.
Smokes. And
That is a good, warm...
Good, warm drink.
I feel better already.
Well, there you go. Because you got to make your drink now, right?
I have to make my drink. I don't know if I can.
How's that going to work?
It's going to be different, because I didn't know how I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out together.
Oh.
Did you think about starting with instructions?
I have them.
I think you got a good start, then.
I think you're right. Yes, because in David Wondrich's amazing book, Imbibe, Jerry Thomas used to do... a hot toddy for people. And I was debating as to what I would put actually into it, because it says in the old recipe that it could be the booze of choice, so in theory we could have done it with gin.
It's funny, because you think of, when you think of cocktails now, you sort of start with the alcohol. You know, I'm going to have a rum cocktail, a whiskey cocktail.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have whatever, like in this one, rum toddy. Well, what kind do you want? I want a whiskey rum toddy, or do you want a whiskey toddy? Do you want a,
gin
rum
toddy? You want a bourbon toddy?
Yeah. So it was a different way of looking at those drinks back then. They were all sort of considered almost interchangeable, and then as time went on, that focus shifted.
Who did that? That's what we have to find out.
Big Sugar.
Rogers. But yes, he says that it was the booze of choice. However, whiskey, I think in the very late 1800s, became the go-to one, Scotch whiskey. Sorry, Scotch whiskey was the one used for the toddy. And he's saying that it should be a big peaty one. But having said that, further into his writings, he says this, and I'm just going to read this.
Okay, just read it.
Yes. It says, again, because you mentioned it earlier.
Right.
And so I'm going to say again.
Sure, well.
Because we already mentioned it earlier.
Wow.
However, what I'm going to say has not been mentioned yet.
Oh, so that part isn't from the book.
No.
You just said.
No, none of what I'm saying now. This is all me.
Oh, okay. We haven't got to the quote yet.
No. And when I do the quote, I'm not going to do the again now. I'm going to come in mid-quote.
Oh. Are you going to do the fingers?
Oh, this is getting really
quote
confusing.
Fingers? I just want to know.
I'm not going to do the quote fingers. I'm going to say, actually, I am going to say again.
Yes.
And what I'm going to, but I'm going to tell you what again is about. He says it should be a pot-stilled spirit. If then in a pot still, which makes it a slightly, I think it's a little funkier. I think,
yes,
I think the column still makes a smoother, but less exciting liquor. Again, says David Wendrich, pot-stilled spirits are essential here. Cognac or single malt scotch, always.
Hmm.
And this is where he says this is an excellent use for a very peaty scotch, particularly if it's at cask strength.
Is ours going to be at cask strength?
Ours will not be at cask strength because he says dark rum, Irish whiskey, and Hollands on a case-by-case basis. And then here, red breast Irish whiskey is pure pot still and fabulous here.
I go with that.
He sold me on that.
Yeah.
And
I'm in.
So we're returning once again to the Irish whiskey, which has let us down partly because I think we've let Irish whiskey.
I'll go with that.
So you put a teaspoonful of sugar, you do a wine glass, which is 3 or 4 ounces of water, and a wine glass, which we're saying is 2 ounces of spirits.
All right.
You muddle it. I'm going to muddle the sugar with the hot water, then add the spirits, and then maybe top it up with a bit of hot water. And then the two.
And so?
A lot of other toddies have a little bit of lemon in it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is the Jerry Thomas one we're doing.
Right.
So you can. There's a million toddy recipes out there, but we're going to go pretty
Does easy. This one have butter?
No butter.
No butter.
Butterless.
Wow.
So even healthier for us.
Yes. And we're going to use mugs.
Yes, we've... I selected a theme, Fred. You're going to get the Shakespeare mug because you're an A. And I'm getting Franz Kafka, the Franz Kafka mug I got in Prague because, well, I'm a writer and existentialist philosopher. And Jason's got the Beatles mug because he's the drinking Beatle, as
exactly.
We've always called him.
Yeah.
And he loves the Beatles, as we all. He's especially
He loves them more than anyone else.
He does.
I'm especially fond of the Beatles.
He still says Paul McCartney is just dreamy. Still got a big crush on,
well,
a man crush on me, Sir Paul.
He's the cutest 75-year-old man out there.
He is.
Yeah, Henry Gibson used to be the cutest 75-year-old man.
Sure.
So you're adding the water first?
Yes, because I'm using the funky sugar too. I think what they aspired to was white sugar, but he said that a turbinado or something like that would be good, and I happen to have turbinado cubes, and so I thought a toddy stick is what the muddler was in the old days, so let's toddy this thing up since we're doing toddies, and so I'm going to actually crush up the turbinado sugar cube into our hot water to begin with. And I think that will give us an air of quality. Plus you get the...
Well, you get that.
You get the great toddy stick noise.
And it's business. You know, everybody likes a little bit of business.
Exactly. That's why we got into cocktails in the first place.
Sure. Makes you look like you know something when you're using all the tools of the trade.
And using them properly to time era specific.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, impress your friends if they care.
If they care, which they should.
They should. If they're your friends.
If they're my friends, they're probably you guys.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then look at this
magical
red breast. Single pot still.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a bit of research on the red breast pot still.
Yep.
And even Scotch people tend to say that if you're looking for the pot still quality,
yep,
this is the thing
the
to
one?
Get that's
really?
Going to have the essence of whatever that is. I haven't even tried it straight yet. This is the wonderful sound it makes when you open it.
Nice. Mm,
yeah, no, it smells like heaven.
Now I thought we'd had pot stilled Irish at the whiskey night. Have not done that?
We might have.
Years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah. My memory of alcohol, specific alcohol, starts to fade after about a year.
How about the specific gravity of alcohol?
It's less than one. That's all I can tell you.
There will be a full dissertation on
there will.
Yes.
That's the sound of about $70 worth of whiskey being poured into mugs.
I don't have any Irish whiskey currently, but it just makes me think I should have some of that.
You should.
That's cool stuff.
Because again, you want to warm your cockles.
Sure. I'm going to take a whiff of the red breast here. It sounds weird, but it's not really. I'm just going to smell the bottle.
A whiff of the red breast. That was a historical novel done by...
That's cool. Sir Walter Scott.
Did you smell it?
I did. It's got a very sweet, almost a sherry.
And that was my concern for you, gentlemen, was, more for Dave, actually, because I didn't know if a peaty scotch was going to do this. I'm going to read another description from the David Wondrich book, which is what I was after.
Are you saying I'm not appropriate for peaty scotch?
You're more peaty James.
Oh, all right. Well, all right. Thank you. I got my delicious Franz Kafka mug.
Love it.
So, again, Happy New Year, Hogmanay.
Yeah. Quite nice.
You get the cask.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a little different.
A little woody.
Mm-hmm. And as I say, you could grate a little bit of nutmeg on this, but it didn't say you have to. I can see now why they might add a little bit of lemon to it, though, just to open it up.
I mean, it's mainly warm whiskey.
Indeed.
So there's not a lot of other notes in there. I mean, the sugar doesn't add a whole bunch?
No. You could maybe sweeten it up a little bit more. I'm going to read you this description, and then we'll see if... Could we have a little bit of lemon juice here that we could splash in for the heck of it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I like the sweetness level. I mean, that's
You don't need it any sweeter than that?
No, I don't think... Not for me.
All right. I'm going to put a hair of lemon into yours.
Just a splash?
And you want a hair of lemon too there?
See how it changes it.
And I too will do that.
And that was probably about maybe a teaspoon or less.
I would say it was a
I think I prefer it without the lemon.
Yeah. And then I'm going to actually muddle one more sugar cube into mine here. And I threw one into Dave's even though he didn't ask for one. Because...
I think the lemon sort of takes away from the flavor notes from the whiskey.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I can see where he's saying, too, where a big peaty scotch might be something here. Again, this is light and nice. I'm sure it has some... I mean, it's great flavor for the whiskey.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read this thing here in just a second. I keep saying I'm going to read a thing here, but then I don't. Try that there.
You can have Dave read it.
I could let Dave, but I can't find it.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay. Yeah. Dave doesn't know what you're looking for?
You got a little bit of rough cube in the back.
Oh, okay.
A rough Cuban. Does that sweetness add anything to it?
Honestly, I think, it's hard because it has the lemon in it. I think I would have preferred it without the sugar. I think I was okay with it.
Oh, well, sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all part of the process.
It's all part of the testing.
Mm. Yes. That's extra sweet. Now it has a little bit of lemon in it.
I still like it, though. I mean, even with the...
So it says here, David Wondrich, and I quote, "Under the proper circumstances, a hot toddy... particularly one constructed upon a foundation of good Highland malt whiskey, which we're... is one of the clearest signs I know that there is a providential plan to the universe. Of course, those circumstances include things like faulty central heating, dripping eaves, gray mists, chill drafts, and moth-eaten cardigan sweaters.
Gray mist.
But it's almost worth artificially creating them just to feel the blissful warmth seeping farther into every muscle and nerve with each sip until, as far as your body is concerned, you're laying out on the Grand Anse Beach in Grenada, not hunched against a cold and cutting nor'easter."
Wow.
And so it was that kind of sensibility, I think, that in both of these drinks... I wish that maybe I had pre-warmed these mugs.
A little?
Just to warm it up a little bit. But I still get the idea of the whiskey.
Well, it's because the temperature in the studio is so cold, too.
Well, Dave is like David Letterman. He keeps it as funny in the cold.
Yeah. And Scrooge. I'm very much like Scrooge, you know. I don't want my assistants getting lazy by getting overheated.
This is true.
No, if it's too warm, I just fall right asleep.
No, of course.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Please send us a coal scuttle. We need a coal scuttle.
Oh, wow.
But I'd like to explore this more, though. I think there's more to the toddy than we've done today.
Oh, sure. I think we can definitely bring that.
I would bring that back.
Yeah, right. You try one.
The first six months are all
toddies.
All toddies.
Well, because I know that they add butter to some. And,
right.
And that changes everything. Of course, butter.
Yeah.
We haven't had any cocktails with butter yet.
No. No. I don't think so.
No.
But you're right. I mean, and it, just as we said before, whether it would be a gin toddy, a bourbon toddy, a rye toddy, mm-hmm. a peaty scotch toddy, a Holland gin
right? Yeah.
toddy. I think the idea is to get your booze warm and in you.
I think that, yeah, anything you can do to do that is a good idea.
There was one I saw online as I was trying to research a little bit of this. Somebody at a bar, I think in Portland. Do not go to Portland. My cousin insists. Just admire it from afar.
Yeah, leave Portland alone. You'll just ruin
Portland.
It.
Yep. But it was Campari mixed with a bourbon. I think there was some lemon and maybe a sugar syrup.
Oh, those Portlandias.
Yes. To make a hot toddy. Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm glad that I did the Jerry Thomas really super simple one. Three ingredients. Water to cut the booze, to warm it up, and to dissolve the sugar.
Right. Yeah. And I think that was a good... I mean, I like that probably better than adding lemon to it, only because it with the lemon, I've lost whiskey.
Yeah.
I've lost the Irish. But I think there's other building blocks that you can use that'll keep those notes and just sort of add to it. And I think, I don't know if butter is the one, but there, I know there's other ingredients out there that don't overpower it the way lemon does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream might be the... I mean, maybe that's the answer. I hadn't thought of that. That's a great idea. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it does. There's a certain, and I don't think a lot of non-drinker types know this, but there's a certain feeling and a fake nostalgia. I say fake because you can imagine an experience that you didn't have.
Yes.
Much like the one that David Wendrich just described there with the eaves, and say, I know that night.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that night in a movie.
That's right.
And now I want to experience it. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's warm and it's soothing.
Yeah. And it's simple. And so, and we do get into some pretty complex drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had some that have got like 8-9 ingredients. And so when you get something simple like that, I think maybe you're at first you're sort of like, oh, that seems really, there's not much going on there. But adding more ingredients isn't always the answer. So I think the simple toddy has its place. I think if the power's out and you've got a kettle on a fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You need to be in some sort of hardship.
I think so. I think if you're listening to this with the last dregs of the battery in your laptop because the power has been out for 18 hours.
Right.
If you've managed to get a fire going in the carport to heat up a kettle, this might be the time for a hot toddy because who knows when help is coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's a seasonal. And the funny thing about global warming...
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it gets warmer overall, there's some places that get really, really cold as part of the global warming.
Well, they call it climate change.
Right, climate change.
Because
right.
It gets really cold here and really warm here. The average is warm.
Yes.
But you still get the weird fluctuations in the climate so that it's unnaturally cold by a few degrees, but not as warm as it's getting in other places.
Right.
So it's, maybe... 10 degrees colder here, but it's 20 degrees warmer in Antarctica.
Yes. And these are the differences.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're all up to your neck in seawater.
Mm-hmm. Which would be a great time for a hot toddy.
Yes.
Good. See?
Yeah. It all comes around.
Hot toddy, the drink of climate change. Brought to you by global warming.
Nice.
Yes. Exxon.
Yes. Thanks. Brought to you by Exxon. Oh. And oil producers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was something else. So I'm looking forward to trying another hot toddy at some point, maybe in a month or so, once we've done come up with a couple other good recipes. But these were good. I have to say, I have my favorite.
Oh, okay. I have my favorite.
Oh.
Dave?
Yeah, I guess I do. You guys go first.
I am going to say that my favorite was the gin twist.
Yeah, no, a gin twist.
Yeah.
It hit all the right buttons.
Hit all the right buttons.
I'm the winner, man!
You win.
Take that, Mr. Experienced Bartender.
The toddy was interesting, and I don't want to revisit it because I think it's a dark horse.
Mm.
I think it could come back at some point, but
right. Well, it's really just the gin's twist was the hot toddy, but with the different measurement with the sugar and with the lemon juice, and somehow the gin made it more.
Well, gin can fight better. It plays better with lemon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas lemon just kicks the snot out of whiskey most of the time.
Yeah, and again, it's this Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
But he says it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it is.
I think it was wonderful before the lemon.
Right.
I think it had a simplicity. I mean, I still preferred the stuff going on with the gin twist. But you know, that's not to say that having a little Irish whiskey with some hot water and sugar is a bad idea.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So I would do that again in a heartbeat. And you know, maybe with a smoky scotch, maybe that would be an interesting thing.
I think so. In fact, maybe even the next time we meet,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the other two drinks that we may do,
yeah.
we'll do a PD. Have you got a PD scotch you can bring along?
Oh, I got a PD scotch. Well, I've got Ardbeg, so if you consider that a PD scotch.
That might be a little bit too peaty.
I don't think there's such a thing, is there?
Well, it calls for a Highlands
oh.
peated as opposed to a saltwater peated. So I think if you could get...
Highlands.
You've always hated those people, haven't you? The dismissive Fred Partridge.
That's right. The old days of the clan McPartridge. Come out of the woodwork.
Bastards. Yeah, so what you're going to say? What were you thinking?
I don't know. We'll have to go through our thing.
Okay.
Because when I got the Red Breast, I almost bought... Oh, I should read what's on the Red Breast box. I almost bought the... there was one called... Oh, doesn't matter. It was a peated Highlands whiskey. So you get a trace of smoke,
mm-hmm.
and you get that peat, but you don't get so much of the iodine and salt water that you get from an Isla.
Oh.
Ah, I know. But here, the Red Breast copywriters... says that this whiskey displays the characteristic full and complex flavor of pot still whiskey with the distinctive influence of pot still whiskey, which has been matured in sherry casks. Yeah. The legendary sherried Redbreast style is a joy to behold in each and every bottle. And it says up here, it's the tradition and significance of single pot still Irish whiskey for the past century. Redbreast has been the standard bearer for this quintessentially Irish style of whiskey.
True.
Yes. I have nothing to add to that.
Nothing to add to that.
But yeah. Pot still mm-hmm. does that, it does something. Yeah. I wonder if that old Potrero whiskey that we tried from the Anchor Distilling folks, I wonder if that's pot still.
Hmm. Well, a lot of the small, I think the small distillers, a lot of them are, I think, just because they get some guy to hammer out a pot, a still for them.
On a whiskey note, I tried... a little bit of the single malt that Central City Brewing in Surrey has put out.
Oh, they put it out already?
They put it out. It came out
Bastards.
Just before Christmas.
I got to go see them.
$60 a bottle.
Yep.
And it's good. I liked it. I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Until I had a bunch of other Christmas-type bills. Sure. But it was good. I think it's 3 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go in there from time to time on the business side.
Oh!
And I tried it 2 years ago.
Oh!
And does it increase your closing rate on deals?
No,
it doesn't.
And how was it 2 years ago?
It reminded me of that Oregon whiskey that we had.
Oh, that's what I was comparing it to.
Yes.
The McCarthy's Oregon whiskey.
Yeah, which after a few years, I'm sure, I haven't tried it since, I'm sure it's better now. Because age does wonders for it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's not my absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was a $60 whiskey, but the flavor of it, Fred and I have joked before, where I've been trying to find the whiskey that I don't like,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be pretty awful for you to spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an unfair thing. But in a way, I kind of compared it to that.
Yep.
Was it $60 whiskey?
Mm-hmm.
No. But is it good and not off-putting? I mean, it's not a smoky one like that McCarthy's Oregon stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, it wasn't bad. I didn't spit it out.
Hey, I drank the whole bottle.
I think I bought another bottle.
Yeah, I think you did. I think I was with you when you bought the second bottle.
No. Well, I think you were.
Yeah.
The first and the second. Right?
Right.
Because we shared the first one.
Yes.
And so, but it's more palatable. Mm-hmm. Dave would like the Surrey whiskey more than the Oregon whiskey.
And made no more than 20 miles from where we are now.
Made no more than 20 miles from where we are now.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
I think so. I believe that is exact. We'll play it back later.
Yeah.
We'll confirm that for you. Yeah. I'll send you an email.
But anyway, I just thought that was neat and good for the Central City boys for coming along with that. Or maybe it's even a gal.
It's a guy.
It is a guy. Because I know one of their brewers, one of their lead brewers, is a gal.
Oh, we'll find out.
That's no reason that gals and guys can't.
No, it's great. No, I would have remembered. So I know that there's at least one feller down there, but...
they'll charge you money to try it, though.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Although I usually go in through the back door, so I might be able to get some.
Oh, well, that's right.
On the DL, on the
I don't know if you're supposed to say that on the. This isn't an avocado.
It's a microphone. Is this being recorded?
Yeah. Yeah, the entire world can listen in.
No, I go in as a professional and I get to taste sometimes.
So. Okay.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Well, you haven't been in it for a while.
Well, I didn't know that I haven't gone to the store. That's the problem. I go to the side door and I talk to the guys about stuff.
Right. Pumps?
Yeah, technically, yes. Typically. And so, yeah, so that hadn't come up. I was meaning to follow up with them on it because after tasting it a couple of years ago, I wanted to see where they were at. So I didn't know they were that far along that they were putting it out there. So,
yeah, it's out there. It's a client. I'm sorry, I don't know the name.
I'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll know within a couple of days.
But you have at home, Google Central City Brewing.
You can't have anything that they make, but, you know, do it just for fun.
Well, they might be local.
That never even occurred to me.
Not everybody listens to us is in Uganda.
I assume that it was all European, actually, a lot of our followers, but maybe Australia.
Hence the accent, Dave. Sure. Now it all comes to full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got people all over the world.
Interesting.
And they usually follow us on our Instagram account. You should check it out sometime.
I'm going to look into this. Didn't know what you've been doing for the last year. But now that I know that was all video, you weren't just goofing around.
No. It's at go to Instagram.com/Octail Podcast. Because it's not just pictures. It's video too, as Fred said.
And you get to see what we look like.
Yeah. Which is probably secondary to some of the drinks.
I'm going to have to start dressing better. That's what I'm going to say.
I should give a shout out to my cousin's podcast.
Yeah, because he did so for yours.
Yes. So maybe some of you were directed here by there, in which case you can just say, knew it when. But Sneaky Dragon is on iTunes, just like it sounds. Sneaky Dragon, like a dragon that sneaked up on you. Sneaky Dragon with Ian Boothby and my cousin David Dedrick, and they do a wonderful podcast, and I was a guest on there just before the New Year's Eve, and I promoted our show, and some people have listened from there to hear.
Mm-hmm. We're also on iTunes, I have to mention.
Okay, yes.
We're on iTunes, finally now.
And, famous Ian Boothby?
The famous Ian Boothby, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's huge, right?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. No, he's virtually on CBC. I think he might be literally on CBC.
He could literally be on CBC. Yeah, if he's not, it's only because he's taking a break.
Do you want to tell people who may not know who he is, who didn't come here from his butt?
Ian Boothby is a local improv guy, but he's also a comic book writer. An Eisner Award-winning comic book writer, I believe.
He's won a whole bunch of awards. But
both he and his wife are very successful in the comic book. And he's written more Simpsons comics than anybody else.
Than anybody else, yeah.
Yes, he's prolific.
Maybe we should get him out of here for this. Does he like to drink?
He does, as it turns out. I thought that he wasn't too keen on it, but he...
Dave wasn't keen on it until he started doing this podcast, and now look at him.
I'm a drunk.
We got to find a substitute for him sometimes. He's under the table.
And I sent you an email today showing you that we can now get pimento dram locally. Much to my dismay.
Yes, but again, about that same price, right? It's still cheaper to fly to New York City than it is to buy it in Canada.
I guess so, but yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, it's time now for a quote of the show, and it's whiskey-related.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome.
And
quote us up.
It's from Raymond Chandler, famous American author. And let's see if you agree with Raymond. He says, there is no bad whiskey. Mm. There are only some whiskeys that aren't as good as others.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
I think we were just saying stuff just like that, just not as well.
You were communing with Raymond Chandler, weren't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. I was trying to think. I think I was actually with Damon Runyon.
Sometimes I roll in his ashes.
Oh, dear.
Is that...
Oh, I'm going to have to edit Jason. Cut out Fred a little.
Sorry about that.
No, that's right.
It's the gin twist talking.
I know. Well, plus it's fighting with the lemony toddy. Anyway.
So, thank you, gentlemen, for another episode.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, listening public.
And, of course, if you're out and about and you hit the bars, what do, Jason? You gotta...
I wasn't ready to wrap it up just
now. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry, but... I thought you were.
I was gonna throw it out now because Fred had suggested Up and Up was the bar we went to down in Greenwich Village.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
Is that Greenwich Village or is that the East Village?
Well,
when you cross over that far,
sort of East Village, I guess.
That's right. Although, it doesn't matter. If you're in Greenwich Village, you'll be able to get
use
there.
Use your iPhone.
That's right. Up and up.
Up and up.
Now, have you constructed something, do you think?
I'll have at least one. And I think there was others that were maybe easier to do. But I had my favorite there, and I'm going to do that one. And I'm going to spend the next week perfecting it.
And you don't seem like this seems 5 months ago.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it, too. I'm just starting to think. Do you think it seems 5 months ago?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So you've got something lined up.
I got one.
Okay.
And we can come up with another one easily enough.
That's right. Have you contacted our friend Cheddar at Up and Up?
I'm going to give Cheddar a call. I think we might have stiffed him on a tip, so I got to sort that out first.
I don't think we stiffed anybody on a tip.
I took both copies of the Visa receipt, so I'm pretty sure I stiffed him on my bill.
Oh, that's...
What?
I've done it before. I gotta mail them $20.
Oh, for God's sake!
I'm gonna get on that. I'm gonna do it.
This might be.
This was 5 months ago. You're gonna get on that?
I just realized it over Christmas. I was going through my receipts from the trip, and I said, "Well, here's my receipt from the Up and Up. Well, here's another one receipt, and it's signed. And it's got the tip in it."
I gotta
sort it out. So,
at this point, they couldn't balance that night.
No, they could balance. They could. We'll talk about it later. They can invoice
they could balance, sure, they could reprint that, but they couldn't put a tip on it.
They can't put the tip on it.
Oh my God! Well, this is like when you're on the date, right?
Yeah.
You leave the thing behind at the date's house, so you get the second date.
Yeah.
Now you have to contact Up and Up and Cheddar and say, "You remember me? Yeah. I was recording our conversation.
Remember that?" Ugh. I'll have to send him some Krispy Kreme donuts or something.
Oh, that's exactly what he wants.
Right. Well, I'd buy him a drink, but...
Oh, God. If you're listening, Cheddar, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I had no idea that Fred was doing
so
this. He's Mr. Tippy.
I was Mr. Tipsy that night. That's the problem.
That's right. The extra sample of tealings that we got. Okay, so we have an idea what will be next show. I'm sorry.
And the Armagnac.
Do you have Armagnac?
No, he gave us also a taste of Armagnac.
What if he's not supposed to be giving out tastes?
Oh, maybe I paid for it. or not.
Somebody did. The vast listening audience.
Gonna pay for it.
Dave.
Yes?
Get us out of here.
I fed you the line.
I know. I'm not asking you. I'm saying, Dave.
Yes?
You know what to do if you're ever out and about.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Apparently, I don't do it.
No,
yeah.
But Dave is a class act. Fred is
he may not be on future episodes, I'm afraid.
Exactly. If you're able to look at the video clips, you want to post an image grab of his face right by your cash register. This is a bad check. This is trouble, this fella.
Cheapskate.
But anybody else, if you're out there, your wait staff is working so hard and they're compiling these things. They have to muddle sugar. They got to pick mint. They've got to boil water. There's a whole bunch of other things going on that you don't even know. That even if you're sitting at the bar, you can't tell what's going on. So please be kind to your wait staff. And as always, be a gentleman of elegant leisure.
That's right. And
chip
big.
He stepped on our line.
He did. He jumped right in there. Good night, folks.